Okay, my name is Gavin Bell. I'm the area manager for the southern and central sections in Table Mountain National Park. And originally, I started as a section ranger down at Cape Point in the Cape of Good Hope. Also worked in the central sections of the park in Silver Mountain Takai, and now as area manager oversee the conservation management in both the southern and central sections in Table Mountain National Park. There's a number of reasons. I mean, where it starts off is in terms of the biodiversity that we find there. It is a hot spot in terms of plants in the world. We've got plants that occur there and nowhere else in the whole world. And we can take you to certain places and show you where there are three or four plants left of a species and they don't occur anywhere else in the world. So we have a high rate of endemism there, as well as rare and endangered species. Then it's also spectacular in terms of scenery. At the point itself, you've got these beautiful cliffs which you can stand on top of and look out across the ocean, both on the False Bay side and the Atlantic side. And then it's very popular with the number of activities and facilities available for visitors. Also animal life, we have quite a bit of game there that people can enjoy in terms of game viewing and birding. And then there's lots of spaces where you can go and sit quietly and not be disturbed by lots of people. So it is a national park, and you have a suite of activities, from being on your own in a quiet spot and spending time quietly, or to any of the busier spots that you want to go and enjoy and see. So it's special in that it has a range of activities, etc., that meet people's needs. People come all over the world to see Cape Point, particularly as it is the most southwesterly point on the African continent. The most southwesterly, our sister park, Gullis National Park, is the most southerly point on the continent. Okay. But this is the most westerly point. And it has a lot of significance in terms of our history as South Africans, locally, nationally, as well as internationally, in terms of where that end of the peninsula juts out into the ocean. It's got a lot of historic and geographic significance in terms of our history with our people that lived along our shores, Khoisan people, as well as then starting with the trade routes going through to the east and the world wars. It's played a role over centuries in terms of significance internationally. We've got a number of units there for overnighting. We've got the Eland and Dacre family cottages, where you can overnight. We've also got on the beach Olifantsbos guest house and a little cottage where you can also overnight. And then we have the overnight trail, where you can hike along routes, sleep in an overnight hut, and then hike back out. That's a two-day trail. And then on our borders, just adjacent to us, we've also got a tented camp where guests can also overnight there if they want to stay in. Then that's in terms of accommodation. And in terms of facilities for visitors, at the point itself, we have restaurants and takeaways. We've got retail outlets, curio shops. And then we have the funicular, which is sort of a small railway or a tram that takes you up to the top lighthouse. And then there's a whole lot of walks around the top lighthouse, the historic lighthouse, the original lighthouse that was built there. And then in various other sections of the park, we've got trails that people can enjoy for hiking, especially for looking at plants and bird watching. And then we've got picnic sites. We've got a number of picnic sites in the park and tidal pools, as well as a slipway where, you know, fishermen want to come and launch to get out into the marine protected area, which surrounds the Cape Point, Cape of Good Hope section. The main activity in terms of the numbers of visitors we receive are engaged in sightseeing. You can get to a lot of areas along there for viewing over the cliffs, as mentioned earlier on, looking for whales, dolphins. Occasionally you spot sharks from up on those cliffs, a great white shark that's in the marine protected area. And then obviously hiking, very, very popular for hiking. Some beautiful walks. You know, picnicking, you can go picnic and you can bright our bright sights. And then there's also snorkeling, diving, fishing. Mentioned earlier game drives in terms of game viewing. And then lots of visitors come through for birding, bird viewing as well. I think everybody has different needs in terms of what they want to experience. So a lot of people want to get away from the hustle and bustle of their daily lives. And it's perfect because there's lots of spots there where you won't see anybody, very quiet. Other people might want to go there, you know, they've had a tragedy in their life and they just want to be close to nature to heal. Other people would like to go there to find a quiet spot to pray, which we find. And then there's recreational activities like hiking or snorkeling. Lots of people will do that. And then obviously and birding and game viewing. And then, you know, your tourists that are coming in for the day, visits in and out, their main purpose is to get down to the point itself in Cape of Good Hope. And do the viewing from those top of the cliffs, which is very special. Yeah. Having been there for 20 years, there's so many, you know. But I think in all the years having worked there, it's been special in terms of the staff that are there, and the personalities over the years that we've worked there. And some of the things the staff have get up to. And it's also sad because some of our really loyal, committed staff that worked there for 40 years plus have passed away. And I can think of Alec Brooks. He was actually born there. And Mr. Philip Vanguard that's recently passed away. You know, the staff have dedicated their lives there. And I think that's a special story in terms of getting the park established, that section established all those years ago in terms of protecting it for conservation. That's very special. And then the people that have dedicated their lives to getting that part of the park to where it is. And it hasn't been easy. And there's many challenges in terms of what we face on a daily basis there, the staff. Starting off there, it was infested with alien plants, Roycrons, particularly Port Jackson. It's taken many, many years of and resources to get that cleared, which we've successfully done. We have huge challenges around fires. We've had some massive fires there, and all our staff and our fire teams involved in managing those fires and putting their lives at risk there. Getting all the infrastructure in and ensuring that it doesn't impact on the environment because it's so special that we don't want any plants, etc., to be impacted on by any developments, and those are roads and the restaurant, etc. And then the ongoing monitoring and management of all those impacts on a daily basis. We have one of the most visited sites in terms of tourists in South Africa. We have over 1 million visitors coming through that one gate to go to Cape Point, and there's huge impacts in terms of their activities. And we need to ensure that those are mitigated or minimized so that the environment doesn't suffer. There's no negative impacts. And that's challenging, but it's very rewarding because we have done it successfully. We are protecting our natural heritage for all of Capetonians and everybody in South Africa as well as the world. And I think that's really the special story, is that we couldn't have done that without any of our staff. Sad to see our staff are passing on, and it's all of our turn, but it's also exciting to see there's lots of new young staff coming through, new young rangers, and they're as passionate and dedicated, very young, but very energetic, and we do hope that they're going to be there after we've all left to carry on what it is that they love doing here. If you're going to Cape Point, you should put on some sunblock, put on a hat, be prepared for wind. I still remember my first day of work there. Two things that stood out was a tourist that climbed off a tour bus, put their foot on the ground and got blown off. their feet and they ended up on their back. And a motorbike, actually, a rider got blown off his bike by the rider and had an accident. So it is very windy. There's not many days you can ride there without a wind. And you got to take a jacket or something warm to put on if it does get cool, but definitely sunblock and a hat. You need to realize that you're in a national park. It is a wild place, as beautiful as it is. We've got to realize that these wild places are wild. You know, there's baboons there. You've got to take care with your food. So leave your food and that in the car. If you see a baboon or it's close to you, you know, don't make eye contact. Move away from it, as with any wild animal. You know, and there's snakes and other other animals there that you need to, as in any national park, ensure your safety and your friend and your family's safety. But other than that, I think you need to bring with you, we were saying, what should people take with you. I think we would ask that people bring with them the approach that they're going into a beautiful, wild, natural place, and that the only thing that we would ask that they leave behind them is their footprints, and that they take everything out with them, you know. And we find that most people do. Most people are becoming more green in how they approach doing things. But we would ask that everybody takes on that approach, and that, in the end of the day, is best for the environment, yeah.